Okay, Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men, what? Once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, everyone's going to see that sign, as it were, that's on the bulletin, road ends. They're going to face that. They're not going to literally see that sign, but they're going to face that, that the road ends. We don't know what type of an end we're going to have here of our earthly life. We know our eternal life we're going to be with the Lord, but our end here, it may be calm and quiet. Notice in Genesis 49, kind of like Jacob experienced in Genesis 49 and verse 1. Genesis 49:1. The Bible says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So Jacob calls his sons all in. He was going to talk to them about what was going to happen in the future. And Jacob must have been sitting on his bed. He was kind of bedridden, evidently, but sitting on the edge of his bed as he's talking to his boys because of what we see happen down in verse 33. So he's talked to his boys here and in verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and what? Yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So he calls his boys all in. He talks to them about the future and what's going to happen. And then he gathers up his feet into bed. So I can just picture him sitting on the bedside, gathers up his feet into the bed and lays down and he goes to be with the Lord. That was a very quiet and peaceful thing. Talk with your loved ones. Lay back, and next thing you're talking to God. So that was wonderful. Others, though, might experience a violent death. Notice in Acts chapter 7, none of us know exactly what we are going to face. Acts 7 and verse 54, we'll read through verse 60, but start in verse 54, Acts 7:54. So Stephen has been speaking this entire chapter to the people. In verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, what? Receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, and then what? Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he what? Fell asleep. You're seeing someone die a violent death, but it doesn't seem to be bothering him. He's looking up steadfastly to heaven in verse 55. He sees Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He says it in verse 56. I see the heavens open. Verse 57, they cry out. Verse 58, they're casting him out of the city. They're stoning him. In verse 59, Stephen is just calling upon God, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then in verse 60, his last words are, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then it says, he fell asleep. So none of us know whether we're going to be like Jacob, be able to speak to all the children or the family, whoever your loved ones are, and then just after you finish saying all you want to say to them, just lay back and go to the be of the Lord. It might be like that, or we don't know. We may face persecution like Stephen and being stoned. I mean, just think of the pain and agony with each stone that would be hitting him, losing his life more and more with each stone. And yet, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then the last words, lay not this sin to their charge. He wanted those people to be saved first and foremost. So truly amazing, isn't it? The peace that God can give to us, even during fierce trials. The peace of God. Notice in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, we'll be reading verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? The peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding. That's what I picture Stephen having. He's dying a violent death, and yet he has the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Instead of cursing back at those people throwing the stones, he's asking God not to lay this sin to their charge. That is the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. So, how's the earthly road going to end for each of us? Well, none of us have any clue. It might be like Jacob. It might be like Stephen. It might be somewhere in between. None of us know. But we do know we can have the peace of God, whichever way our road ends. So number one, it may be the end, the road of our earthly lives is going to come to an end. Number one, it might be a calm and quiet end like Jacob's. Number two, it might be a violent end like Stephen, yet peaceful. Or number three, it may be a sudden and glorious end at the rapture. A sudden and glorious end at the rapture. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just suddenly. How many of you like chocolate? How many of you like Palmer chocolate? Okay. It might be hard to come by now. Did anyone hear about an explosion? The Palmer chocolate factory in Pennsylvania just exploded. Now, I don't know what is in their chocolate, but it must be powerful. No, I don't know what. I don't know what exploded in the building, but I just read a news line, and then in the news they had a little video of it, and there was a local Fox News station that had a webcam that just happened to be pointing in the direction of that factory, what was in the picture. And just suddenly, just huge flame ball. And the sky was filled with debris coming down. And the explosion, I don't know how far away the webcam was, but the camera just rattled and shook, vibrated from it. And just a huge, huge explosion. So unexpected. But one day the Lord's coming is going to be that sudden and unexpected. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So just as fast as that explosion happened, and the sky was filled. It reminded me of a tornado. Have you ever seen a video of a tornado where the air is just filled with debris? That's what it was like from that explosion. Just the air was just filled with stuff, broken pieces of things. One day, it doesn't matter whether we're in a building or not, when the Lord comes back, we're out of here. We're gone. In just a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And as we think about that, look at Titus chapter 2. So, if that is how our road, our earthly road, is going to end at the rapture, then we're not going to have to face death. We're going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and from one form to another. Titus 2, 12 through 14. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So that might be our end. We might never have time to call all the children in or loved ones in to talk to them before we pass away like Jacob did. Because in a moment, we may all be gone. So He's coming again. So for us, it'll be a glorious thing. But for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the end of the road of life going to mean? What is going to happen? Well, notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Number one, the end of the road for them is going to be an eternity of everlasting destruction. Everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. The Bible says, "And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." How many of you like sunshine? How many of you like clouds? Okay. So you maybe like a balance. Okay. But one day, the Lord is going to come, and these that are lost in flaming fire, He's going to take vengeance. They're going to be punished. Verse 9 says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." The presence of the Lord is light. The opposite of the presence of the Lord is darkness. And we'll see that in a few moments. So, but the end of the road for them is going to be an eternity of everlasting destruction. It makes me think of that chocolate factory. I mean, there's no salvaging that building, at least that part of it. I don't know how much of it exploded, but pieces everywhere. Number two, the end of the road for them is going to be an eternity of everlasting fire. Notice in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. The Bible says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Everlasting fire. I can recall when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated that his widow, for one of her requests, ask for an eternal flame to burn at his graveside. Our family has looked at that gravesite there in Arlington, and that flame is still burning. But you know what? As Christians, praise the Lord, there's no eternal flame in our picture. It's eternal glory with the Lord. The eternal flame is the picture of the lost. What a sad, sad thing. Notice then in verse 46 there, and that's number 3, the end of the road for them is going to be an eternity of everlasting punishment. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting what? Punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Can you imagine facing everlasting punishment? It never goes away. But that is exactly what the lost are going to face. Everlasting punishment. Number 4, they're going to face everlasting torment. Notice in Luke 16. Everlasting torment. Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. We'll be reading 22 through 24. Luke 16, 22. We're looking at everlasting torment. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And where? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this flame. Tormented. So not just punishment, but torment. And then, as I mentioned, the darkness. The end of the road for them is darkness. Notice in Jude, verse 11. So they're going to be cast away from the presence of God. Cast away from all light. Notice in Jude 11, we'll read verse 13. Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees, whose fruit withereth, without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness, how long? Forever. How many of you have ever been down in a cave and they've shut the lights off? Okay. It's dark, isn't it? You know, you shut the lights off in the house, and nowadays you have all these little LED lights on clocks and computer charging things, and your eyes get accustomed to it. So even though it might be dark, it's not near pitch black, but oh, it is in a cave. But the blackness of darkness forever is reserved for them. And then it's going to, the end of the road for them is going to be an eternity of regret. Notice in Luke 16. Luke 16. If you could go back in your life, would you do anything differently? Sure. We would hopefully not make all the mistakes we've made. We would try to do things right. Try to do the will of God every moment. In Luke 16:24, and this is that rich man again, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, what? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So he's in hell. And Abraham says, Son, remember. He calls him son. He's no doubt this rich man is a Jewish person who has died. He's gone to hell. And Abraham says, Son, remember. Remember what? Remember that in thy lifetime, you received your good things. Lazarus received evil things. Can you imagine all of eternity thinking about he had his chance to come to Christ and to do right, and he didn't. And now eternity of that thinking about, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So the memory of there are people in heaven that are comforted, but I am tormented. Remembering all the times he didn't feed Lazarus. He didn't help him with whatever needs he had. He was late at his gate. All he was hoping for was the crumbs which fell from his table. He'll remember that. But isn't it good as Christians that God, for Christ's sake, does not remember our sins? Notice in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:17. People remember our sins. We remember our sins. But God, Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I what?
Remember no more.
Won't that be a wonderful day? When we won't be able to remember our sins, God, for Christ's sake, will not remember our sins. And notice in Isaiah 65, to do that, God's going to have to wipe our memory banks clean here. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are what? Forgotten. And because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall what? Not be remembered, nor come into mind. Won't that be wonderful? To get to a point where we no longer remember all of our mistakes, all of our faults, all of our failures, but for the lost, they will remember. Number 7, the end of the road for the lost is going to be an eternity of suffering the exact degree of torment that they deserve. Revelation 20, verse 11. We have a lot of district attorneys across America that have been voted into their positions and refuse to uphold the law when dealing with criminals. They're releasing them, and our country is turning into lawlessness everywhere. Constantly I get news notes about it. I think it was just yesterday I got a news note about it. Somebody was into a laundromat doing their laundry, and the camera shows some guy with a hoodie come right up behind him and hit him with a club. And it's just every week I'm reading about just constantly things like that. Well, you know what? Someday, those people, you know, some, you may say, well, people get away with murder, literally, sometimes. No, no one is getting away with anything. In the end, notice in Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to what? Their works. This judgment is not for salvation to determine whether they're saved or lost. This judgment is being held to discern the exact degree of punishment these people will get in the lake of fire. And God's going to do it according to their works. He's going to give them the exact degree of punishment they deserve. Just legalized the firing squad again. And on the basis of people have the right to justice, to see justice done. I might be wrong on the state. I can't remember. But anyway, a state just legalized the firing squad again. But according to their works, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. When I read that so many times, I think about the great Titanic. You know, the ship that someone said, why, even God couldn't sink the Titanic. So foolish, so foolish. I think of all the drunkenness and wickedness going on that ship. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to what? Their works. No one is getting away with anything. Nothing. God has it all recorded. And in the end, for those who do not get saved, in the end, lost people are going to receive exactly what they deserve. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a horrible day of reckoning is coming. So the road ends. Where will you be? In heaven or in hell? Well, it all depends on what you do with Jesus. Notice in John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Why is it only by him? Because the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. So we're facing death. Eternal death, what we've read about today. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. He's God in the flesh. He's born of a miraculous virgin birth. That was necessary for him to be born without a sin nature like we have. He was born without sin. He lived a perfect life. Pilate, the judge at his trial in John 18:38, said, I find in him no fault at all. So we have God in the flesh, the sinless one, dying on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. That's why he's the only way there is to life. So the road is going to end for all of us. The road ends. To be saved, it might be a quiet end. It might be a violent end. But either way, we can have the peace which passeth all understanding. It might be sudden. We just might be caught up. We might not have to experience death at all. Just a sudden transformation. These vile bodies suddenly transformed into a glorified body like his. So I pray that God would help us to faithfully live for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you know all things. We thank you that you are all powerful. We thank you for your great love, that you would send your son to die for us. We thank you that you would care about your creation so much that you would be willing to suffer on our behalf. And Lord, our love for you seems so pathetic in comparison for your love for us. Lord, I pray you forgive us. Father, please do a work in our hearts that only you can. Not just in an emotional moment, but every day of our lives. May we remember that tremendous love that you showed us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.